You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news and culture update from the Long Island Sound region. A study finds sea level rise threatens infrastructure built near Long Island Sound. Nassau lawmakers pass a bill banning trans women from playing on women's sports teams at county facilities. Proposed legislation would expand who's eligible for Pell Grants, and a WSHU reporter details his fight in obtaining information from the Connecticut Port Authority. Those stories and more are ahead. I'm Sabrina Garone. Sea level rise is threatening vital infrastructure built near Long Island Sound. According to a study from the Union of Concerned Scientists, WSHU's Molly Ingram has more.
The report predicts that sea levels will rise 3.2 feet globally in the next 75 years. That's based on information from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. If that happens, scientists say the Devon Station power plant, an electrical substation in Bridgeport, and several Superfund sites on both sides of the Long Island Sound could flood as often as twice a month. Erica Spanger is the nonprofit's Director of Strategic Climate Analytics.
We looked at critical infrastructure, and it's just that. It's critical. If we let it flood chronically, these essential services that people and communities rely on for public safety and well-being will be unacceptably disrupted.
There are 39 critical infrastructure assets at risk of flooding at least twice a year by 2050 on the Long Island Sound, according to the study. Spanger says many of them are located in disadvantaged communities. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
Nassau County lawmakers passed a bill that bans transgender women from participating on all women's sports teams at county facilities. The law has sparked backlash from LGBTQ advocates. WSHU's Desiree Diorio has more.
The Republican majority legislature passed the bill on Monday night. County Executive Bruce Blakeman is expected to sign it. The law does not bar trans women from playing on male or co-ed teams. Gabriella Larios is with the New York Civil Liberties Union. The group represented a Long Island roller derby league that sued the county earlier this year and successfully overturned an executive order that created the ban.
The NYCLU's message to the county is simple. We will see you in court.
Larios says the ban violates New York's anti-discrimination laws and human rights laws. Supporters of the ban, including Blakeman, say it protects women and girls by ensuring fair competition in sports. Desiree Diorio, WSHU News.
U.S. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand from New York has proposed legislation that would nearly double the maximum eligibility for Pell Grant funding. WSHU's Ada Uzenlar has more on today's announcement.
The federal Pell Grant program offers students from low-income backgrounds funding to meet tuition needs. They're not loans and don't need to be repaid. Gillibrand says Pell Grants used to cover the vast majority of funds needed to attend a four-year college, but that's not the case anymore.
Many families rely on the Pell Grant, serving more than 6 million students. But more than 50 years after its inception, purchasing power of the Pell Grant has reached a record low.
Gillibrand's proposed legislation would increase the maximum grant amount available to $14,000 over the next 2 years. It would also expand the current program to include more students and make them eligible to receive the grant for 18 semesters instead of 12. Ada Uzenlar, WSHU News.
WSHU's Brian Scott Smith submitted a Freedom of Information request to find out how much the state pier in New London is expected to cost. He details how that went. That's after headlines and a message from our supporter.
Local support comes from Hartford Healthcare, the only health system in the Northeast, with all its hospitals receiving A grades for safety from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent safety watchdog group, HartfordHealthcare.org.
Suspended East Lyme Police Chief Michael Finkelstein faces more charges after his arrest earlier this month. He was initially charged with disorderly conduct and second-degree breach of peace after an alleged domestic violence incident. He is now accused of violating a protective order and making false statements. The Bayshore School District has settled a lawsuit filed by a former student, one of 45 who say they were sexually abused by their third grade teacher, Thomas Berganozzi, in the 1980s. They say the district was negligent in protecting students despite the allegations raised. The Supreme Court has rejected a challenge to a Connecticut law that removed religious exemptions from immunization requirements for schools, colleges, and daycares. The decision came after a wave of exemption requests post-COVID. Current K-12 students granted exemptions are allowed to remain in school. Connecticut Port Authority violated the state's Freedom of Information Act when it withheld records about the final cost of its State Pier project in New London. WSHU's Brian Scott Smith has the details about his appeal of the state's FOIA commission.
The cost to redevelop State Pier in New London into a hub for the offshore wind industry ballooned from around $93 million in 2019 to more than $250 million due to years of delays, overruns and redesigns. Fast forward to January 2023, with the project still unfinished, the Port Authority Chairman David Kouros said they would be asking the state for a second round of money to finish State Pier. The year before, Kouros promised the State Bond Commission that taxpayers would not need to contribute additional funding for the project, but now he wouldn't reveal how much more was needed due to ongoing negotiations with contractors. WSHU submitted a Freedom of Information request to find out, which the Port Authority denied, saying the information was not in the public interest. WSHU appealed, and at a hearing, the Port Authority's lawyer had this to say.
Those communications are premature, and to release those would impair the negotiation process, but they are in a position to produce those documents as soon as the contract is signed.
In January, a year later, the state's Freedom of Information Commission issued a finding against the Port Authority, saying their interpretation of state statute was wrong, and the commission instructed officials to hand over the relevant documents. In the document bundled was an email dated January 2023 to Port Authority Interim Executive Director Ulysses Hammond, detailing two possible financial scenarios to bring the State Pier project to a close. Those figures were between 25 and $40 million. So, over the past year, while the FOIA process was playing out, the Port Authority had a pretty good idea of how much money they would need from the state to finish State Pier, which is not what they told Senator Heather Summers, a member of the Legislative Appropriations Committee.
It's deeply disappointing that a quasi-public agency would not be forthcoming with a legislature. They deliberately omitted the pertinent cost information.
She inquired in April 2023 about the projected increased cost, but was also turned away due to ongoing negotiations. A spokesperson with the State Office of Policy and Management said the Port Authority contacted them earlier that month by phone, advising they would be seeking $30 million from the State Bond Commission for the project, as is required under state statute.
We just cannot tolerate the concealment of crucial information from the public domain, especially when the public is paying for it.
The Port Authority released their request for additional state funding during its May board meeting, 1 month before they would go before the State Bond Commission in June for the sum of money, which the governor and the commission granted. Summers criticized the Port Authority that August after a state audit questioned how the Port Authority would use that money in its bidding process.
Unfortunately, it falls in line with the behavior that we have seen consistently from the Port Authority over the years.
State Pier today is all but finished. Crews have helped in the assembly of wind turbines for the South Fork and now Revolution Wind Farm projects, but it's come at a cost, $310 million to be precise, one of the state's most expensive maritime projects to date. State Pier is almost exclusively being used by the offshore wind industry, who are paying to use it under a 10-year agreement, which could be extended in the future. And at a recent business lunch in New London, State Pier was mentioned by Governor Ned Lamont, who has agreed the two rounds of bond funding for it.
State Pier, a little controversial, I remember that, but it's full, it's occupied, it's making money. Made $1 million last year. That means in 300 years we'll break even, but we're making a little bit of money on it.
This year, the Lamont administration had proposed merging the Port Authority into the Connecticut Airport Authority, although the proposal failed to advance in the last legislative session. supporters sought to rein in the controversy at the Port Authority. Summers and other Republican senators opposed the measure. She is calling for more transparency and accountability from the Port Authority and its spending. Brian Scott Smith, WSHU News.
For the latest news from Long Island and Connecticut, you can listen on the radio or stream online at WSHU.org, or you can download the WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford HealthCare. And as always, if you have any thoughts or story ideas you'd like to share with us, please feel free to reach out. That's how public radio works, as a service to your community. The best way to get in touch is by email, and it's news@WSHU.org. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk tomorrow.